Welcome to Conversations on Healthcare with Mark Maselli and Margaret Flinter. Mark is the founder, president, and CEO of Community Health Center Incorporated, a provider of primary health care services for the uninsured and underserved in 13 cities and 218 service locations in Connecticut. Margaret is senior vice president and clinical director of CHC and is a family nurse practitioner by profession. Conversations on Healthcare is a weekly look at the people and ideas that are transforming the delivery of healthcare in America. And this week, Mark and Margaret will be speaking with Dr. John Moore from the MIT Media Lab. In the Tech Report segment, Marianne O'Hare looks at new tools for writing prescriptions electronically. And we begin with this week's bright idea.
Each week, Conversations highlights a bright idea about how to make wellness a part of our communities and everyday lives. A hospital administrator in rural Kansas has come up with a new solution to a growing problem in American healthcare. With a critical shortage of primary care providers, rural areas in particular are having a difficult time luring new recruits. Ashland Health Clinic CEO Benjamin Anderson realized that the kind of physician who might be interested in this kind of small-town medicine might also be someone who had an interest in doing third-world mission work. Instead of some of the usual perks that are offered, he offered something different, a chance for the physician to take 8 weeks off per year to pursue their mission work. He recruited a physician to the Ashland Clinic who also was committed to doing mission work in Haiti. Small Town America Healthcare, using mission-focused models for recruiting willing practitioners in order to keep healthcare alive in local rural settings. Now that's a bright idea.
Today, Margaret and I are speaking with Dr. John Moore, physician, inventor, and brains behind an innovative annual competition at MIT Media Lab. The Health and Wellness Innovation 2012 competition brought six teams of collaborators from around the globe and across multidisciplines to design innovative technical solutions aimed at facilitating patient engagement in their own health outcomes. Dr. Moore, welcome to Conversations on Healthcare.
Thank you very much for having me.
Dr. Moore, you're pretty passionate about using technology to revolutionize healthcare delivery, making it easier for patients to be empowered in their own healthcare. In fact, one of your inventions, Collaborithm, primary care teamwork anywhere at any time, won a big award for offering an effective tool to engage patients and their physicians for better health outcomes. Tell us about the genesis of your work. What was Collaborithm designed to do?
Well, I was a resident in ophthalmology several years ago, and I became kind of very frustrated with the tools that I had at hand to take care of people because they were predominantly designed around billing and around short-term visits documenting the information that we had, but I really didn't have any tools to help people understand what was going on with their illnesses, to help them manage their conditions longitudinally. So Collaborithm was the idea that kind of sent me out of the medical path and back to school at MIT. At the time, it was just an idea behind it that I wanted to engage patients more in the care. But over time, it's become more of a system with loftier goals of really helping patients serve as apprentices to move from novices all the way up to an expert level of proficiency in managing their own care. And it provides the tools that allow that to happen, which are communication tools with clinicians and family members and friends, and visualization tools and educational components that allow them to see and understand the consequences of their actions on their health, and then the ability to discuss that and to help them to understand and make decisions on their own that are more effective at helping them manage their diseases.
Dr. Moore, you say one of the fundamental issues in healthcare, one of the problems, is a lack of patient compliance and taking medications correctly is just one example, but that's really not necessarily the patient's fault, that it's a lack of understanding of the role they play and their own health outcomes, and really more of a system failure when we have poor patient outcomes. Tell us more what you mean by that.
The old term for it was compliance, that had the connotation that patients were just supposed to do what doctors said. Now we call it adherence. It's not that patients don't have the drive or the understanding or the skill to follow up with medical recommendations. It's that never are they typically really instructed or helped to gain the knowledge and understanding so that it's meaningful to them. So instead of thinking about how to get people to comply to what our recommendations are, instead we want to try to build tools that help people to come to that realization themselves. And then these terms of compliance and adherence kind of wash away, and what we're left with is, well, what can I do to make myself healthier, make myself feel better? While much of the technology that exists out there is very much focused on just getting people to remember, pinging them with text messages or alarms, well, our approach is really about understanding and self-reflection.
You know, Dr. Moore, you say that we can do a much better job enabling remote collaboration between patients and caregivers, certainly better than it's done today. If there were only more use of technology that actually does what it should do, engage the patient, as you were just saying. So at the Health and Wellness 2012 event at MIT, you brought together engineers and physicians and designers and entrepreneurs, and all putting their heads together to group hack new tech solutions to a variety of common health issues. So what was their directive?
The directive was, above all, just to build something that they felt would empower patients beyond anything else that's going on out there, beyond even the patient's wildest beliefs. We did want to have some other components to the project, such as sharing some of the technology across the board so that all the projects could benefit, to really think about cost of healthcare. But above and beyond everything was to build projects that enable patients to dig in deeper to their problems or share more effectively their progress on their disease with family members and friends so that they could get social support, to be able to communicate more effectively with clinicians so that they didn't spend half of their life running around between doctor's office visits, but instead got the care that they needed when they needed it. And it was up to the teams to really decide what they felt was most important. When it comes down to mobile health applications and other tools that are out there, they tend to get reduced down to a lot of checkboxes and drop-down lists. And what we try to do is make it a bit more human, something that people can relate to and can understand on a deeper level and communicate better around. So some examples. One of the teams worked on a project for diabetes and tracking their fitness along with medications, along with blood sugars. And something that they decided to do in their project was to use the metaphor of a hot air balloon. Either it gets pulled down by insulin or diabetes medications or exercise with sandbags weighing it down, or it lifts up towards the clouds and floats away with too much high glycemic food and lack of those other components. So their goal was to try to use a metaphor and make it a bit of a game, that their goal was to maximize the time that this balloon floated in the optimal region of blood glucose control. And that on top of that, there was data coming from the device that they wore, which was a fitness training device called the MotoActive that would suck its data about exercise performance into that application for managing diabetes, and that this information would be available at a glance on that device and on their cell phone. Really, the technology itself is not the solution, but with collaborative, a lot of the philosophy is that the solution is really the fact that we can now converse and be socially motivated towards better health behaviors. To believe that the technology itself will solve the problem, the elegant solution is when that starts to dissolve away into your life, the data flows where it needs to go, and it's there when you need it to reflect upon it.
Dr. Moore, we've been following this work on the website around the MIT lab work, and there's such a strong theme of creativity and technology solutions and also humanitarianism flowing through this, and you've really spoken to the human impact of these. And, you know, most good inventors, I think, have a reputation well-deserved for testing out their inventions on their own family members and friends, right, as a first step. And I wonder, was there an element of consumer involvement in this or stories from the front?
Well, all along with my research work that goes behind Collaborative, we're testing it with patients. So we did a pilot study with patients with hypertension at the Mayo Clinic this past summer. Before that, we did a study with patients with HIV at Boston Medical Center in Boston. So all of it is driven by research behind the scenes. So although the projects during the Health and Wellness Innovation event only had some small amount of input from patients because we only had 10 days, but many of the projects did seek out patients to get their opinions, which I think is an extremely important part of it. And really what we find out is much of the most meaningful part of it is the social part of using these applications to manage their health and being able to have someone else to help kind of watch over you and help you to make decisions about your health can be one of the most powerful things.
We're speaking today with Dr. John Moore, physician, inventor, and creator of the Health and Wellness Innovation 2012 competition at MIT, where healthcare professionals, engineers, designers, and entrepreneurs join forces in a two-week competition to invent tech solutions to healthcare management problems. You know, I note that you just said that you didn't have a lot of consumer input, but you did have e-patient Dave there, who's been a guest on our show, and he's a real passionate voice for a growing sector of the population that need to empower patients as much as access to and knowledge about their healthcare data. He was there to be a conduit to possible participants in the inventions being designed by the groups who you gathered. Talk to us a little, though, about the internet and social media making it easier for researchers and developers to find faster solutions and really connect with the groups that they're trying to develop new tools for.
Yeah, Dave and I had an interesting chat right at the beginning of that first day, and we weren't quite prepared to do it as well as I would like to this time, but I think next time around, our goal will really be to include patients in the process of designing tools for them. And I think we just need to be a bit more prepared and to have some channels set up on the net that'll be more effective at helping patients in real time give advice and feedback to the teams. You know, certainly we see a lot of this out there on the web today, sites like Patients Like Me and others that allow patients in real time to track each other's progress and give each other feedback and connect people from around the world. And it really opens up a whole new world of communication. Well, the idea that Dave had when we chatted the first day is not just can they be involved in managing their own diseases, but they could be involved in helping us to design better tools for them. Right there along the process, as we storyboard things out or we draw things up and come up with designs, if we're equipped to get them on the web in an efficient way, they could reply back to blog posts or tweet back at us with suggestions or maybe things that they've already tried and found unsuccessful or things that they've tried and they found very fruitful in pushing themselves towards positive health behavior change. And I think that's a really exciting idea. You know, this is not the end of it. The goal is really that these projects continue on from now until next year or for now until they get to the goals that they have set for themselves. And I think that's something we did best this year compared to previous years is really set the projects up to springboard onto next stages, either doing further research or trying to make it into a product, have a good prototype that now that they can show off to the world, now is the opportunity to really get a lot of feedback from the people out there who would be potential users.
We really appreciate that creative input. But, you know, one of the issues that many previous guests on our show have talked about is this lack of a unifying platform for healthcare technology. And I wonder, from your perspective, how does this affect or limit how new ideas come into being, make it to the marketplace, and what can be done to improve that?
That's one of the big driving forces behind Collaborism. Like I said, as a clinician, I really didn't feel like there were tools that allowed me to engage with my patients longitudinally, and it really allowed me to push them toward being more self-efficacious because it was all about the brief encounter, one short conversation. But another big part of it is that our underlying health IT infrastructure here in the States and around the world is extremely fragmented. I saw lots of great projects out there being funded by different organizations or being studied at different institutions, and in my estimation, they were spending about 90% of their time recreating the same fundamental infrastructure and then having only about 10% of their time to really focus on their innovative ideas. And in the end, it's wasting patients' time and not getting the tools out there that they need. So a big part of Collaborism is that it is open source. Although, you know, we know that our tool might not be the one that starts to provide some free open source architecture out there, but at least it provides the start. Our teams, some of them may make products out of their tools, but that doesn't mean that they need to do that from the ground up. That there are tools, open source systems that they can leverage and build on top of to gain momentum and to really spend their time focused on their innovative ideas. And that our fundamental, most important component of this system is that patients own and control all of their data. And as a reflection on how important we think open source tools are, we use a tool called IndivoX, which is a open source, personally controlled health record system that was started at Children's Hospital in Boston. And it's been around for quite a bit of time and has quite a bit of momentum as well. And so even in our work, we don't build everything ourselves, but we try to leverage as much as possible that already exists. And IndivoX, they're building tools to aggregate data from different clinical sources like hospitals and clinics and labs. And the personally controlled health record really provides the opportunity for some consistent architecture out there. And the big premise is instead of storing patients' data all over in siloed databases at every different institution or in every encounter they have, instead, for each patient, there's a single repository of information, which has the potential really to solve a lot of our issues with data portability between different institutions.
Speaking about your research, you're engaged in a number of other research projects. One is called Forget About It, and it's sort of addressing the issue that about 50% of patients with chronic diseases take their medications. And it's obviously not simply due to forgetfulness, but it's a really complex set of intertwined problems. Talk about where you are on this project and what do you hope to attain?
Forget About It is really just an application or a subcomponent of Collaborism as a whole. The idea has evolved quite a bit over time. Initially, the focus was really on persuasive type interfaces, so building tools that help people to manage their medication. The Forget About It name is kind of more of a play on words or a joke that really the issue is not forgetting. It's about understanding and about deep-seated motivation. So originally, the goal was more to build persuasive-type interfaces, compelling visualizations that people would see what's going on inside of their body or how does this medication actually work. And by seeing the direct consequences of their actions, that potentially we have this ability to make help the person feel what's going on inside of their body or feel more compelled that it's just so clear to them the importance that it makes a big difference. So, for example, when people have a cough or a cold or runny nose or upset stomach, they take their medications quite reliably because they feel it. Mm-hmm. The problem with chronic diseases is they don't see it, they don't feel it, they don't hear it. So Forget About It was all about taking that information that's hidden away, that's complex, make it concrete and make it actionable. The way it's progressed is really away from just this idea of a persuasive interface, more towards this notion of apprenticeship, of helping people not only to see this, but to almost build it on their own through continued collaboration with clinicians and with other patients, other expert patients who have experienced the disease. And the idea is patients start out as novices, but they have these other experts who help them transition through coaching exercises, helping them watch that over time and start with very intense support that's there very frequently and almost helping make decisions directly with them towards patients making the decisions for themselves, but having an observer, a coach, who gradually fades away until the patient is capable of and motivated enough to tackle the problem completely by themselves.
Yeah, Dr. Moore, I think it was just within the last few days, the Institute of Medicine released a draft, I think, still not the final version of a major new report on chronic illness called Living Well with Chronic Illness. It really looks at the impact of chronic illness on people's ability to lead full, healthy, happy, and productive lives and really calls for a major national strategic investment in helping patients live well, which seems to be exactly what you're driving at. It also makes it clear that there have to be a whole lot more people involved on the healthcare team than just the primary care provider or the primary physician or other healthcare provider, because we just don't have enough of that resource to go around. So in your models, who else are you engaging on your team to work with patients?
in all of our studies, the primary point of contact has been either a nurse or a pharmacist. The idea is that it's a team-oriented architecture on the clinical side. In the long term, it'll likely be a physician and multiple health coaches. And health coaches will be nurses or nurse practitioners or physician's assistants. But I think that they'll have a bit of a different clinical background and also just a different skill set and interest set. And that interest set will be a blend between nursing skills and social working skills. So it's really going to be more of the social support that comes from these health coaches. Give them the medical advice when they need it, but also give them the reassurance and also give them praise when they perform well. But it's going to be this health coaching role that really grows quickly in this space and in the next decade to manage the huge amount of chronic disease that we have on our plate.
Dr. Moore, we'd like to ask our guest this final question. When you look around the country and the world, what do you see in terms of innovations, and who should our listeners at Conversations be keeping an eye on?
For me, the most important things that I keep an eye on now are really some of the new practices that are springing up, trying out these models with health coaches and with care teams and new payment models, because I think it's quite obvious that the technology that we build does not work with a fee-for-service healthcare system. So if we want our technology to get out there and do good for people, we need to understand some of the different models of care. So David Judge at the Ambulatory Practice of the Future at Mass General Hospital, he's one that I followed and learned about this health coaching approach. And Rushika Fernandapule at Iora Health, which is a company that delivers new models of primary care delivery and is using a health coaching type model as well, that these are the places that I look to understand the trends and what's working in new models of care delivery that can support the kind of technology, that can support the level of patient engagement that we really want to see.
Today we've been speaking with Dr. John Moore, director of the Health and Wellness Innovation 2012 competition at the MIT Media Lab and creator of the award-winning patient-doctor communication platform Collaborhythm, Primary Care Teamwork, Anywhere, Anytime. Dr. Moore, thanks so much for joining us today on Conversations.
Thank you very much.
I'm Marianne O'Hare with this tech report. You know the old adage that doctors have deplorable handwriting? Well, it may not be an exaggeration. In fact, a study a few years ago revealed illegible handwriting by medical professionals accounted for an estimated 7,000 deaths per year. And a more recent study showed practitioners who handwrote prescriptions were far more likely to have that prescription misread. The study showed those who used electronic or digital prescriptions had a lower number of prescribing errors. Fortunately, there is a plethora of electronic options out there via electronic health record systems, but one seems to be garnering a lot of attention. iPrescribe, a smartphone app billed as the first and only standalone electronic prescription application for smartphones. And it's pretty simple for clinicians to use. They only need to enter the patient's name, date of birth, prescription drug, and dosage. The prescription uploads via a secure network to a pharmacy targeted within the patient's zip code via SureScripts, the nation's e-prescription network. For busy clinicians on the go with an iPhone or iPad, iPrescribe, a simple tech solution to the persistent problem of medical errors and a step forward in patient safety. I'm Marianne O'Hare with this tech report.
If you have questions for Mark Maselli and Margaret Flinter, or would like to subscribe to the Conversations podcast, you can visit them on the web at chc1.com. The Health Forum is part of connecting our communities from Connecticut Public Broadcasting in partnership with area nonprofits, and production support for Conversations on Healthcare has been provided in part by Community Health Center Incorporated. You're listening to WNPR, Connecticut's public radio station.